Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hand.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast, where we are absolutely devastated that the three-person panel show that was chosen by Netflix for a run during the World Cup was not Soccer Sense, but Gary Lineker, Michael Richards, and Alan Shearer's The Rest is Football.
But so close, that's, you were so close.
So close, yeah.
But that's
maybe next time. Aside.
But that snub aside, we have a lot more to talk about, and we are joined by the full panel here. Firstly, from in and outs or thereabouts of the setting of Ted Lasso, Richmond, it's Karan.
Yeah, not too far from Brentford. In fact, you can see a few people in Brentford just heading towards the stadium for the game.
So, and of course, completing the panel and coming after a while, we welcome back Vishal.
What's happening, guys?
So we are recording, guys, as the weekend actually kicks off. So a lot is going to probably happen in the Premier League, and we will talk about those. Quite a maddening football week overall. A lot of bombshells dropping all around. We had a Florentino Perez interview that was more unhinged than then some of the oldest castle doors in England. We had a Scottish League finish for the ages. Quick one on that, Karan. Just tell us about, because you are the only one who are watching it live on a legal stream as Celtic and Hearts went right down to the last day. Hearts, well, we're on course for breaking their duopoly and also winning their first league in 60 years, but just missed out because it was 1-1 until, well,
the 88th minute.
And then, of course, Celtic scored. And then they scored again and all hell broke loose. So quick word on that, Karan. Quite a remarkable season there. In fact, particularly given the kind of season Celtic had had.
Three managers in the season, and they were basically chasing the entire season. And the only time they actually went top of the table was in the last two to five minutes of the game. And they took the lead in the 8th minute. That's the only time they've led the entire season. Hearts, well, it's heartbreaking for them, of course, but... what can you do? I mean, they had their chances. In fact, just before Celtic took the lead, Hearts had a very good chance to take the lead themselves. And literally, it was from the counter of that chance is when Celtic scored their second goal.
The third goal, which of course initially was flagged off for offside, then went to VAR, then was given offside.
Yes, it was. There's still a lot of questions regarding that goal as well, because... If it comes down to the grey area of phases of play, because the player who was offside initially, position wasn't the one who received the ball, but when he did score, he was no longer offside. So make of that what you will.
So there's some serious questions on that.
The game was never over.
Oh yeah, game was technically
game
never
was technically
over.
Not over.
Probably in comeback. It's sort of like the guy in. Japan, who finished a marathon in 55 years because he retired away, went home midway, and then somebody hunted him down later and they allowed him to finish the race eventually some 50 years later, giving him an official finishing time of 55 years or so.
Wonder what his Strava rating would be.
So this could be a similar situation. But we've had some crazy finishes. We talked about the championship in the last episode as well. Those have had crazy finishes, and in fact, the final playoff, Karan, is currently in abeyance because there is a disciplinary hearing there that has to happen to figure out if
Yes,
any
I think
sanctions have to be put on Southampton for spying.
I believe it's set for Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday is
So.
when it's set for, and the game is on next Saturday, in fact. So, again, make of that what you would.
We'll see what happens on those. And of course, we have a third finale to get ready for, which is the Premier League finale, which is still not over somehow. Arsenal have done their darndest to keep it alive. Vishal, take us through the run-in here. Both Arsenal and City obviously have two games each to go. Arsenal have the 2-point lead. Of course, courtesy a huge favor from Everton, who made City drop points in the total, were almost close to beating them, just missed out with a last minute goal and a 3-3 draw. But what it has done is that it has given Manchester City a bit of a lifeline. But given that Arsenal have games against Burnley today, we were recording actually before the game, and what City have been doing so far, they won the FA Cup yesterday. Arsenal, of course, have to worry about a Champions League final. So there are a lot of things in the equation. But will we finally be recording a podcast about Arsenal winning the Premier League title?
Good question. I don't think any of us have the real answer to this because we've been trying to answer this all season. But looks like City don't want it. Arsenal have tried their best to give it back to City, but City are saying no, keep it. So it is one of those really tricky situations where I think right now the favorites are Arsenal. Yes, they need to see this gear, the next two games through. I hope they come back with a mindset to play these two games and win it and not try and steal it, because these are very winnable games. And if Arsenal leave it to their set pieces, they are leaving it too late and too tricky. But yeah, it's Arsenal's to lose, and if all things go well and as per plan, Arsenal should win, should be crowned champions in a couple of weeks
Well,
from now.
I think what Arsenal showed in the last two games, one they won 3-0, and we had been talking about this on the pod about their inability to score, let's say more than a couple of goals in a game, that dominance and to be able to then also keep the clean sheet was huge. And probably in terms of mental fortitude, the last game, the one at West Ham, which obviously there was a lot at stake for West Ham as well, Arsenal had to eke out a very narrow win, also had to survive the jitters of the last minute goal, and then that being fired off, kind of in a sense, the opposite situation of Celtic and Hearts there. Does that game give us enough evidence to go by that Mikel Arteta might be in the right sort of mental frame of mind in those last two games?
Well, he'll set up not to concede for sure. That much we know. But goal scoring, your guess is as good as mine. I really have no expectations from the Arsenal squad because they have just been so weird. I don't even know what to call it. Hence, I'm going with the word weird. That despite all the attacking talent, despite all the players on the field, they seem to depend on set pieces to score goals. So yes, they will set up not to concede. Ideally, they should score. And sure, all things, and it's the ideal run of fixtures. If you could pick and choose good fixtures at the end of the season to win the title, Bournemouth, yes, Bournemouth are a tough game, but you should
I
beat
think
them if you have no
it's Burnley. So
Burnley. Sorry, yeah, Burnley.
even
Though,
easier because
yeah.
they are the ones who of course have conceded the most number of goals the entire season, naturally sit at the pretty much at the foot of the table. So it's a home game as well, the last home game for them before Arsenal close out the season on the road. But we just wanted to quickly talk about that last game, Vishal, because it does and looks like it will come down to that last game. Which is Crystal Palace at Selhurst Park. So many narratives running through it. There is, of course, Eze will be back with the side. There is talks of how it's a very interesting incentive for Crystal Palace because if Arsenal win the league, they are set to receive a payout, etc., etc. So those kind of talk is obviously there. But eventually, one just does not walk into Selhurst Park and just win a game, no matter what form Crystal Palace are in. How How difficult might that game be, or do you think that would also pretty much be a Bundy-like game?
It's going to be tricky, right? Because City, I mean City, Crystal Palace have been quite solid this season. They've had one of their better seasons, right, overall. And come end of the season, they might not want to give away the game easily just for the sake of a bonus, because you know that's not going to happen. And if that's why they do it, it's also unethical and many other things. So therefore, I still think it's going to be a tough game. Arsenal should win it. Arsenal just beat City, Crystal Palace very recently. So I think they should continue on that run and try and Arsenal must be champions. You'd like it to be in your hands and nobody else's. So it is in their hands. It is for them to take it home and win it.
All right. So looks like we are cautiously treading this particular path. So we'll bring Karan in. Karan, quick word on, I mean, we've talked about Arsenal before as well. And obviously, like Vishal said, we are not yet sure, mainly because it's Arsenal and they have been very, very strange this season that way. They ideally should have been painting the bus for the parade at this point. But that's still on hold. So again, in your opinion, both games easily winnable, or is there a potential banana peel anywhere?
No, I mean, under normal circumstances, they should definitely win both these games. They def and like we were discussing earlier as well, they have the more winnable fixtures compared to City. But having said that, I think it has nothing to do with anything on field as such. It's more a mental thing for Arsenal, where at times they just look nervous, they just look anxious. It's almost like they're reaching a state of desperation that they just want to get done with these two games or the three games prior to the West Ham one. So again, we talk about the fear of winning. So this they haven't been in this situation before. This is the first time these set of players have been there. So you know, it's about how they're able to cope with that. And like I mentioned the last episode as well, right? It's no longer about the talent or the skill of the players. It's just about gritting it out and just getting two results. That's about it. Even if it's like two 1-0 wins, that's all they need right now.
Yeah, and which I'll just bring Vishal back in on this again. That Vishal, then how do Arsenal look at the Champions League final? Or do they think about it now, or do they say, okay, we have this job to finish first, and then is when we'll worry about the Champions League final?
That's the tricky part, right? Because on both sides they cannot afford injuries. On both sides they need both their best 11 and best 15 available and in good form. So therefore it's going to be tricky, because it's not often that Arsenal appears in a Champions League final. It's been 20 years before the last appearance. So they've got to give it equal importance, and therefore they have to weigh this out, right? Like the ideal way for Arsenal and Mikel Arteta is to win these Premier League games early. Give yourself a 60-minute window to really close out the games, and then give your top players some rest, right? That is really how you should plan this. How most, I mean, if you look at how Pep Guardiola played the last weekend against Crystal Palace, right? He did give his players before the final a good rest, and Arsenal need to think of something like this. And for that, again, it's important and critical that they end the game within a 60-minute window, and then just play, you know, just handle and maintain the game and see it through. But
Yeah.
because let's be honest, the Champions League final is they've got to be better than their best day to beat that PSG team. And so yeah, they have to think long and hard about this.
Right. So obviously a lot of the focus is on Arsenal, but the ones challenging them, that is Manchester City, who incidentally, and this is something one does not say about Manchester City often, have had a thinner squad this season to deal with. Obviously, it's still the most expensive squad around, but they've already done the domestic cup double. They still are in the race for the title after looking way out of it, because they are the team that has dropped the most number of points from a winning position this season. I think they've dropped about 12 or 15 points from there. Very unlike City season for Guardiola. Two things. Well, how does he look to close it out? Is it one of those seasons where he just simply says, I've just got exactly two more games to go? and just do whatever is the best that you can do in those two games, because obviously things are not in their hands in terms of their ultimate fate.
No, absolutely right, because most teams would consider this city's season of utter failure, but they've already got two cups in their pocket, which is again excellent, right? Yes, it's not in their hands, but I think they're going to go to win both games. They're not going to try and drop these points or give Arsenal another breather. And I don't expect anything lesser from City at this point. But let's see how it goes. But City are going to be on the front foot, because they literally have nothing else to play for. These two games are pretty much the big end of the season before the World Cup for most players as well. So expect rotation. Expect more players to play, be in and out. But I still think they will go all out for this.
Okay.
Just win these two games and allow your owners to maybe add some extra incentives to Arsenal's opponents.
which brings us to the talk about Pep Guardiola. Do you see him continuing beyond this season at City? Because there's already talk of this could be the last season, etc., etc. Does he continue? Does he look like he has the motivation and the fire to continue?
I think Arsenal winning the league might piss him off. I think there is going to be a little bit of an ego coming here, and I think he's going to, my personal opinion is, I think he's going to give himself one more season to correct the wrong and then go out on a high, because I don't think he would want to leave without a league title or a Champions League in his final season. So I think he's going to give himself one more season. With a fitter squad, with a complete squad, I think he might see himself having a good go at both trophies next year.
Okay, so, and we'll of course be keeping a track of all of this. Among all this, we also of course have the storyline, and that we'll probably cover in another episode, but I cannot resist but bring up some of the chaos and the mess that is going on at Liverpool currently. We had Mo Salah coming up with a pretty incendiary Twitter post, and I think Instagram post, talking about how this is not Liverpool in terms of winning a few games here and there and not having the mentality and the ability to attack. Arne Slot has been, a very fascinating journey this season, in the sense that he seems to have stood stubbornly for nothing for the whole season, and as of now, the Liverpool almost don't have Champions League qualification in their own hands, as things stand. They could have had if they had beaten Aston Villa, but this week in the Friday night game they lost. So quick word, Vishal, on again Arne Slot, who will try to dissect a little more probably in another episode, but what does the chaos suggest is all I'm asking.
I think you have to just take a step back here, right? Because if you look at the personality of Mo Salah, if you look at the individual that Mo Salah is, he's not one who goes against the system. He's not one who goes right against the machine. It's not the individual he is. He might have a few tantrums. He might not disagree, but he seems to do it behind the scenes, right? For him to be so forthcoming, for him to openly criticize and say, this is not the club I love, is something has to be very wrong, right? And I think we're all seeing it, be it ownership, be it letting go of youth players, be it current management style, the lack of identity, the lack of leadership and responsibility at a team level. There's lots wrong, right? And there's two, three things need to happen. Arne Slot needs to sit back and really think about his management style, really needs to think about it. It's not the lack of resources, it's about managing those resources. And more importantly, what is improvement next year? Is it just Champions League? Because a squad like this has no business just qualifying for the Champions League, although compared to this season, it might be success. But he really needs to sit down and reevaluate his own style, because there is a lack of it right now. There is a lack of identity, and Liverpool need to also take a step back and see where they need to net out, because the way the Premier League is going, two bad seasons could mean 10 more, right? Because that means you stop attracting players because somebody else will take your spot. Right, so Champions League is critical for United. Is a perfect example. Just because they qualified to the Champions League, there is hope of bringing better players in, right? And there is also a chance of a large number of stars leaving from your end if they don't get Champions League football. So it's a critical season coming up next. It might not seem it right now, but it's a very, very important season. So Liverpool need to take hard calls. Arne Slot needs to take hard calls. Players need to figure out what they are playing for. And yes, it's a little bit of a murky situation.
All right. So we'll dissect this market situation a little bit more under the classic soccer sense meter later on. But that's about all the time we have currently. Quick word, Karan, on Liverpool then, because we
I mean, I think Vishal hit it right on the head there, because there's just too much chaos going on right now to really sit and dissect anything or make sense of it all. I think they just need to get through the season and then reassess in at the end of the season and see what best they could do, where have they gone wrong, and probably if needed, take some really tough calls and adapt to go from there. And they need to set their priorities early and then go for it next season. It's as simple as that.
All right. And we'll, of course, be tracking that this season and the next, including, of course, the World Cup. Also, you can find us wherever good podcasts are to be found. And if you're looking for the subscribe button, you can probably ask the transcribers at the Florentino Perez press conference to give it to you. Meanwhile, that's all the time we have this week. This is Tariq signing off along with Karan from Richmond
See you guys.
and Vishal.
See you guys.
See you guys next time.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.